Welcome to Jim's BBQ. Can I take your order?
It's like a weird, I don't know, like a suppository maybe? I don't know.
I'm spicy!
They butter the buns. I like when Dylan butters his buns, but...
Edelson like, needs it best, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, Edelson, which funny is you knew what I meant, Dylan.
I love you, Dylan.
But listen, man, you've got connections.
I'm gonna give you a reach around next time we're in Bradford.
This is getting vulgar.
I'm gonna regret this.
We're all about funneling the meat at Jim's Barbecue. Oh, and you just saw the picture.
Oh, those are dicks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another wonderful episode of Jim's BBQ Pod. I'm Jim.
I'm Dylan.
And I'm Mike.
Drunk it out.
Hey.
She's been like, and I'm Mike, like Dylan always does.
Wow, Jim is all jacked up.
I'm so excited to be podding tonight.
Episode 76, I believe, for those counting
at home. I'm pretty excited, too, because we had to skip a week.
Yeah. So how about Henry today, or Nem, whatever you want to call him. Okay, I tell him 73's posted, so immediately he starts listening, sending messages, making fun of me and everything. And he's like, you fucking lazy fucker, this is a Halloween episode, it's almost Christmas.
Well, we got such a backlog of episodes, you know, and we get busy with stuff. And
it was the holidays.
Yeah, and then he was making fun of me. He's like, you forgot Dylan's name, and like he was sending all kinds of shit.
But hey, if you want to check out all of our episodes, regardless of how dated they sound, you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/JimsBBQPod.
You want to see pictures of beer and other shit and tweets about stuff, you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JimsBBQPod.
If you want to see pictures of me doing my fancy jazz hands, you can send us an email at jimsbbqpod@gmail.com or go to the website www.jimsbbqpod.com and get the episodes fresh from the grill.
Wow, jazz hands, huh?
You know it.
Oh, that's something. I might have to just send an email because I might want to see those jazz hands.
Oh, you've seen them.
Oh,
no, I'm playing.
I think I know what you're saying. I don't know that I want to go any further than that, though.
Yeah.
But what I want to do is remind everybody to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Much to Jim and Canadian correspondent Paul Saunders.
Oh, their chagrin.
Yes. Boulevard.
Boop, boop.
What?
Boop, boop, boop. Boop, boop, what?
Oh, we're off to a weird start.
Jim's on another level tonight. I was recently...
That's what some people might call it.
I was recently editing one of the other episodes that we're a little bit delayed on. Sorry, Nem. But Jim was kind of inebriated on that episode. That made for an interesting editing session.
Yeah, I actually did catch a nice little buzz. I can't remember what I was drinking either, but...
It was that stout from the, the Happy Gnome or Dancing Gnome?
Oh,
or...
yeah, that's right, the one Sean gave me.
Yes.
That was very good.
Yes. But, hey, speaking of beer and speaking of liquids, what are you drinking tonight, Jim?
I'm actually not drinking anything right now.
Oh, boy.
I'm kind of full on liquids at the moment.
That's why he might have to run to the shitter.
No, my stomach is a little rumbly in the tumbly. But,
full on liquids, but high on life.
There you go. There's a drink, I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but I've just recently found out about it. It's called Hint.
I thought you were going to say kombucha.
No, it's not kombucha, because I don't even know what that is. But God bless you.
Well, thank you.
Kombucha's come up a couple times on this podcast.
It's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
Huh. It's called Hint. It's water. But,
okay.
The interesting thing, there's no zero calories, zero sweeteners, zero like everything in it. They say it's vegan water because I guess technically, because it is, but they boil the water in like fruit flavor, like in fruit. So like
okay.
The one I had was blackberry or whatever, and it was pretty damn good. But I drank water before that, and then I drank that, and now my tummy's all like slushy.
Oh, is it like hint, like as in like a hint of raspberry?
It's full flavor. I mean, it's not.
Oh, I mean, okay. You can tell you're, I was just trying to figure out the title or the name of the product.
No, it's called Hint.
Well, right. That's, I was trying to figure out why they called it Hint.
Jim. Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah, it's not. It's definitely like not as flavorful, I guess, as you would think. Like sweeteners, like, you know, those kind of waters and whatever. But like when you first taste it, you can definitely taste there's water, and then it follows up with the flavor. And the flavor's not hugely strong or, you know, real strong or anything, but you get the flavor. And I like water anyway, so it was pretty good. I
like
it.
And I like water.
Water. I like it. I like water.
Like when you were first describing it, it was kind of amusing before you said they finally, like when you finally brought in the detail of them boiling it in the fruit.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so I was like, it's water, it's vegan. I'm like,
so it's water.
it's stuff like that Jim doesn't do.
I'm like, who's mixing their water with like milk byproduct or meat or
like, yeah, well that's what I mean, fuck. I don't know. I don't consider fruit like vegan, but I mean, there's no, it, like, even on the side of the bottle, it says no preservatives, no peanuts, no this, no, like, there's a longer list of what's not in it than what is. But it's pretty good. I liked it.
Cool.
I think I'll be getting some more.
I'm glad to hear it.
.com.
.com.
Dylan, what are you guzzling down your throat?
I'm drinking kind of a weird beer, Mike. I know I've given you, like, a can or two from these guys. They're a local brewery to me. Bolero Snort.
Okay.
And I'm having their Fruity Pebbles, Pebbles, because all their beers are cow-themed. And it's an IPA with milk sugar. But from what I understand from the description on Untappd, I'm just going to read it to you so that you understand this beer and how strange it is. But I'm sure you can kind of guess where I'm going with this. But this is the description. Yabba dabba moo. We mashed in with enough cereal to have you bouncing off the walls like a Saturday morning cartoon. Then hit this beer with some of our favorite fruity hops. Denali, El Dorado, and Michigan Copper in the whirlpool. And dry hop plus some milk sugar. Because breakfast just doesn't make sense without it. And I don't think I've had Fruity Pebbles in probably 15 years.
Had some last weekend.
But this beer is weirdly, it's weirdly reminiscent of like a bowl of Fruity Pebbles if you were like drinking the milk.
What is, it a stout?
No, it's an IPA.
Oh, fuck that.
Did you hear about the guy from Marvel?
No, did he become a tall woman?
No, the new editor-in-chief, he was writing under a pseudonym for a year or so as a Japanese guy, and people are not too happy about that.
Like he was writing under somebody else or for Marvel?
No, he wanted to get work at Marvel as a writer, and he was he created this pseudonym of a Japanese person, and
but he's the editor-in-chief?
He just got made the new editor-in-chief yesterday.
So what's the problem then?
So the problem is,
he got the job just because he made an Asian name up?
No. This was like 2002.
Okay.
So he created this guy, this character Akira Yoshida, and he wrote like a bunch of comics for Marvel, and put like a bunch of Japanese culture into them and whatnot, and basically, it breaks company policy because he was working at Marvel and he wanted to write Marvel comics, but that's like no employee of the company at that point in time could write comics if you worked there.
Then how do they get comics written?
Well, no, I mean, like, nobody that works in the, like, not like a writer that that writes for Marvel Comics, but like somebody that's like an editor or like an HR, anybody that works in like the actual offices is not allowed to write comics for Marvel Comics.
Okay.
So that's a breach of policy, basically. And then he just assumed the heritage of an Asian person, right, even though he's a white person.
Okay.
So yeah, there's like this big to-do about it now.
And like he announced it, like after he became editor in chief, he announced it or what?
No, like they announced him as the new editor in chief, and then of course somebody was like, "How come no one asked this question?" And then that opened up a whole investigation into it.
What was the question?
Somebody on Twitter said, "Why is nobody asking why he wrote under this name?" And then it was somebody from Image Comics, so it was like, I was like, "Wow, Image Comics is spitting some shit."
It's like gang wars.
It is. It is like a gang war.
So, Dylan, I've noticed a trend with IPAs lately where there are these ones using lactose sugars.
It's definitely a big thing right now.
Yeah, I've seen a couple different breweries make ones that were called like milkshake IPAs.
That's Tired Hands. So like
I've seen multiple breweries making
milkshake. I think the company that spearheaded it actually was Omnipolo.
Oh, I could see that. I could see that. I know they do all sorts of weird flavor profile type stuff.
Yeah, I think they were the ones that kind of started it. And then I know Tired Hands did the strawberry milkshake and the peach milkshake. I think it was peach milkshake. I don't know. But I know that milkshake was one of theirs. So.
Right, right. Yeah, I haven't had any of them. I'm kind of curious about them.
I like them for the most part. Some of them have been kind of eh, but for the most part, they're pretty good. I like this one, actually, quite a bit. This is actually surprisingly good.
You know what's kind of interesting is today I saw a brewery that's somewhat local to you is actually doing like a can release event up this way, like up in Buffalo on the weekend.
Is it Magnify?
No. No, it's Other Half.
Oh, yeah, but they're a New York brewery, so...
Well, that's why I said semi-local to you.
Yeah, they're not too far. Where are they? They're in Red Hook, right at the edge of Red Hook in Brooklyn. Not too far from where Sarah lives. But, you know, I got to be honest with you, actually... I went there once, and I had a pretty unpleasant experience.
Yeah, I don't know that I've had any other beers, but man, dude, man, some people put their stuff up on a pedestal.
They're definitely, I mean, I've had a good amount of their beers, and I definitely think they make some really great stuff, but they're definitely like... I don't know. They're kind of one of those breweries where, like, they keep. It just seems like they put out the same product over and over again. They just give it like a different name, and like they get really good artwork. Like they probably have like some like, you know, local like Brooklyn artist or something doing like, you know, their artwork, or multiple artists in this case. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the stuff is really good, but I've had a lot of them, and I'm just kind of like a lot of like their hyped up stuff is, you know, it kind of tastes the same to me. I mean, at a certain point, like, how much difference is there in a lot of these like double dry hopped IPAs, you know what I mean?
Right.
So and again, like, I didn't really have a good experience when I went to the brewery. It's a very small little like tasting room that you can go in. Like, you can't even explore the brewery for the most part, if at all. And I just really didn't like the bartenders at all. Like, they didn't seem very interested in their jobs. It was just like, oh, I'm just here working on the weekends to make some money because I go to NYU or something like that. I don't know. I would go back, I guess, to see, give it another chance. But I wasn't too thrilled with it.
Well, speaking of artwork.
What do you drink?
The brewery that I'm drinking from tonight, I think they have to be somewhat notorious for their amazing artwork. I'm drinking from Pipeworks Brewing, the raspberry truffle abduction.
Sounds good.
It is good. It's fantastic, Jim. It's an imperial stout with raspberries, cacao nibs, and vanilla added. And it's got this really cool looking
label on there.
Cocoa.
Chocolate.
Okay.
It's got this really cool looking artwork on there where there's this guy that two aliens are performing surgery on, and they opened up a hole in his chest. And it kind of looks like a raspberry came out of his chest. Some great artwork.
Pipeworks always has great artwork.
Yeah. And the beer is fantastic, too, man. The flavors are on point. You know, it tastes like raspberry and chocolate and a little bit of vanilla. It's really freaking delicious.
I think that's some of the best parts about the beer stuff is the artwork.
Oh,
most certainly. And you know, like I see it even locally, you know, like my buddies at Three Heads, like their artwork's always fantastic. So guys, I mean, Dylan, you alluded to us being off last week and we didn't record, and you know, I mean there's a pretty big holiday that comes up every year, and that was probably the reason why we didn't record last week.
Yeah, to think that when we were in the beginning of this podcast, didn't we do a Thanksgiving or like a Black Friday special?
I think so.
And then this year came up and we're just like, fuck it.
Did we actually record on Black Friday?
I don't know if we recorded on Black Friday. I just know we did like a Black Friday like shopping like episode, and it was mostly me complaining about retail and then Mike just being like, yeah, we were standing around outside.
Oh, yes. One of my favorite all-time quotes.
And Jim getting thrown at a bunch of...
That Cabbage Patch Kids. But, hey, you know what? We had a great time here for Thanksgiving. We had my whole family over for dinner, and that was fun. And a lot of work to get prepared for that and get the house cleaned up and prep food and all that good stuff. And everybody really enjoyed the meal, and it was great. We had a good time. How was your Thanksgiving, Jim?
Pretty much the same. Uneventful. Just kicked it. Ate some turkey, ate some ham, ate some mashed potatoes. Not a big Thanksgiving. As much as I like food, I'm not a big Thanksgiving person.
I'm not really that into it either. We didn't even do turkey.
What'd you do? Ham?
No, we did lasagna.
Lasagna. Wow. Okay.
Lasagna. Yeah.
We haven't done turkey, I think, in like quite a few years.
But you had a special guest over for Thanksgiving.
Oh, Sarah.
Yeah. Thanks for reminding us, Mike. I did forget about that.
How could you possibly forget about that?
I have
Jim?
No idea, but I did.
You've forgotten about a lot of things over the last week and a half, apparently. So, Sarah was over, it's not surprising.
Well, Sarah was over. We don't have to bury the lead.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, we already kind of said that.
I mean, like, how did it go? Like,
it was fine. She came, picked her up Thursday morning, and we just came back and, you know, made a fire and had some wine, cheese, dinner, you know. You know, it was just a nice, quiet Thanksgiving. You know, it was just a good dinner, good hanging out.
You all just stare at each other awkwardly?
No, we did no such thing.
Was that the first time she met
conversation?
She didn't laugh too much at my room.
Is that the first time she met MVP Kit and Mary Lou though?
It was.
And wow. How'd that go?
It went fine. It was fun.
So after she left, was I like, we like that girl. She's nice.
They did like her. She liked them. She's coming back in a couple of weekends.
Oh, snap. Wow.
Not this weekend, the following weekend.
Hmm.
There you go. That's awesome.
So.
Good.
Very interesting.
So that was fun. We had our, I took her to my friend's giving on Black Friday. We both stayed up well past our bedtime.
Oh, yeah?
It was that was fun, and and then Saturday we went back, but unfortunately I think the two of us both came down with a bit of a cold. I think I kicked mine a little earlier than hers.
Hmm.
Hmm.
So, but other than that, I mean, it was a good 4-day weekend. So, I definitely enjoyed it.
Very cool.
Yeah. You do any shopping on the weekend, Dylan?
I didn't do any Black Friday shopping.
I did not. I've done most
actually.
Of mine
I mean, the only online. Black Friday, yeah, the only Black Friday shopping I technically did was I mean, Mike, you went out and got your highly coveted Bourbon County on Friday, right?
I most certainly did.
I got mine on Wednesday.
Ooh.
So technically, I did my Friday shopping on Wednesday.
Oh, so the much maligned former employer of yours? Because you did work a couple days, right?
I did. I worked Tuesday, Wednesday.
The much maligned store that you were at on the previous episode came through for you, huh?
Kind of.
Oh, boy.
I was actually supposed to get a pack or two cans, I forget, of this Fruity Pebbles, and he sold it to somebody else.
So he
gave me one of his. That's why I have this beer.
Okay.
So he did make up for that. But I could have sworn that I was in communication with him, and I guess we got like a case of barley wine, Bourbon County, and I was like, I want one. And he was like, sorry, it's all sold out. I'm like, I don't think you read your emails in the right order. So I think I got shafted on a barley wine, which sucks because the last time I had barley wine, Bourbon County from Goose Island, I thought it was fucking dynamite.
We haven't seen any variants of Bourbon County in Rochester in at least 3-4 years, I think, somewhere around there. Maybe 3 years.
That's probably because
nobody buys any Goose Island product during the regular part of the year around here.
Well, it kind of sucks because Goose Island is just like, you get people coming in and asking, like when I was working there, I used to get people coming in and being like, you don't carry Goose Island? And I was like, no. And it's weird because most people don't want Goose Island, but then, like, there's this weird group of people that really kind of enjoys Goose Island. And, like, I don't mind it. I like the IPA. If it's available at a sports game, I'll drink it. Definitely drink a Goose Island over, you know, Bud Light or something.
312 is pretty decent.
Yeah. And then, like, the Sophie and Matilda, like, some of that stuff's not bad.
Sophie's actually really good. Liz actually really enjoyed Sophie until she found out that there was orange peel in it.
Oh yeah, because she's allergic, right?
Yeah, and the only way she found out is because we bought a couple of bottles of it and she cracked one open and started drinking it, and then her lips got all puffy.
Nice.
Yeah, because she had a sample of it last year at a store, didn't realize that there was orange peel in it because it was a small little sample. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I ended up going out early Friday morning and getting, I ended up coming home with 6 bottles of the regular stout.
I just got one, which, you know, one is probably good for me.
Oh, as far as the variants go, I'm still sitting on a bottle of 2013 barley wine.
Oof, that's probably pretty good by now, man.
Yeah, I should probably crack it open at some point.
Could you, do it when I'm around, because I know some people don't have the greatest opinion of them, but personally, I love barley wine beer. I think they're really delicious, so I'm definitely a big fan of barley wine stouts.
We'll see what we can do. It's probably one of the oldest bottles I have down in my cellar right now.
Well, what's your average age and aging like year? Like, what do you do, like a year for certain things?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to buy like some stuff in quantity. That way I can actually go back and do like verticals every now and then. Like the KBS that we did at Dark Lord this year.
Yeah, like I think I have like last year's and then like this year's edition of KBS or something like that. I don't know. I mean, I have enough KBS that I'm good.
Stuff supposedly you're not supposed to age for too long.
Yeah, I'll probably break a couple out, like, I don't know. I like to bring them to certain events and stuff like that. So
sure. But yeah, I mean, it depends on how many bottles of it I have. Like, if I have multiples, I'll try and just, I'll hang on to some of them and just age them as long as I can. I mean, I sat with a bottle of Dogfish Head 120 for probably, I think it was 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, my dad got a couple for us, and I just stuck mine in the basement. I figured I'm just going to not open this for, like, a while. I also have a bottle of Cantillon too.
Oh, nice.
That somebody gave me when they came back from Europe. But I'm not going to open that anytime soon.
That's one thing I've never actually had, but I don't know if that style is necessarily my cup of tea.
But wouldn't you like to say you tried it?
You know, and that's what it's all about, is just trying some things here and there just to see, you know, what the experience is. If you don't like it, you don't like it, you know? Maybe that's a good share bottle, you know, like at some point, like when you're at a share, you get to try some and see if it's something that you're going to really enjoy or not.
Well, the thing that's cool about it is that it was bottled the day before my birthday.
Oh, nice.
So I kind of like that about it. To get back to everything, I mean, we didn't crack open any crazy beers during Thanksgiving, so we were drinking mostly wine and spirits.
My brother and I, we cracked open a few bottles on Thanksgiving, one of which ended up being just a total disaster.
Oh, it was that Rasputin, right, from North Coast?
Yeah, the barrel-aged Old Rasputin 19, which was reading some reviews, apparently some of the bottles were infected, and that one ended up being the case with mine because it was really, like, sour tasting.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah, and well, the smell was worse. The taste was okay, but not really good. So I more than made up for it with a beer from the brewery. You want to talk about barley wines? It was Mash Vanilla,
mm-hmm.
which was fucking amazing.
Well, I brought Mash Vanilla to Brantford, correct?
I know you said that, and I was trying to remember if you did or not. You may have. I think I recall maybe you doing so. But that beer is so good, man. And
I have one downstairs aging.
Yeah, I think I aged that one for about a year or so, and it was delicious.
I'm gonna check to see if I brought that.
But then we went after we went shopping for Bourbon County. We went. Well, one of Jim's favorite places in Rochester does this every year on Black Friday.
Blue Wolf?
We went to Blue Wolf, yes. Nice. And they do kegs and eggs.
Oh, yeah, I remember you talking about that before.
They open up at 9 a.m., and they just have all these crazy kegs on. They had a vertical of Bourbon County from 2013 all the way to 2016 on tap. And then you could do tastings of 2017. So if you wanted to do from 13 to 17, you could. And then they had Oak Aged Vanilla Dogfish Head on, the Worldwide Stout, which was freaking unreal.
I was thinking of having that one soon. All right, I got a picture of our thing. Let's see, Mash. I think I see a Mash Vanilla in our here we go. Yep, I did bring a Mash Vanilla to Brantford this year, and I remember everybody really, really liked it.
They just didn't want you to feel bad.
You know, that was cool and everything, but the great thing is like basically it was Sean and I just sharing that bottle, so I got to have like a full experience with it, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah, I totally hear you. But that's why I have another one.
Yeah, and I'm a little jealous of that.
Well, Mike, we're buddies. It might show up eventually. I
crack open that 2013 barley wine and you crack open the Mash Vanilla and
I actually have a regular mash, too.
Oh, cool. I've seen a bunch of different ones. Like, there's a mash coconut out there, too.
Yeah, and, you know, I like the brewery. I think they make some good stuff, but I gotta say, fuck, man, it's fucking pricey shit.
Yes. Yeah, it is. That bottle was, like, I think the price sticker was still on it when I brought it upstairs. I think it was, like, 23 or 24.
Mm.
So that was pretty ridiculous. But, you know, we're kind of leading back into beer talk and all that stuff. But I did go check out a few bands on the weekend, and that was fun. And it was great. It was great having, like, it felt like a really long weekend. Like, because I got out of work on Wednesday and didn't go back to work until Monday. So it was really sweet, very relaxing, even though all the work of, you know, getting ready for Thursday and everything. But I had such a great time. But, you know, it kind of leads into the Christmas holiday, which I know I know we got this backlog of episodes, so this might be appropriate to bring up, and Nem will be hearing this maybe about a week before Christmas or so, right? So I think it's appropriate that we discuss maybe some of the holiday songs that are just our favorites or least favorites as we kind of move through the month of December. So, Jim, you brought this topic up, I believe, did you not?
Yeah.
So you must have some in mind that maybe you enjoy or don't enjoy.
I'm a huge Rankin and Bass fan.
Okay.
So for people that don't know what Rankin and Bass is, those are the guys that made like the Rudolph, the Year Without a Santa Claus, you know, those kind of the stop motion.
I gotta ask you.
Uh huh.
Do you think? I mean you might be around younger children. Like with, you know, grandkids of people that, you know, and whatnot more than I am. Like, I saw a commercial for Rudolph playing, like, this week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Are kids still into watching that?
Yeah, I fucking loved Rudolph.
But, yeah. No, I mean, like, kids now. I mean, because, I mean, it's a nostalgic trip maybe for us to watch it.
Yes,
but,
and
like,
no.
Are kids now still into that?
Yes and no. I think part of the deal is, though, like, I mean, I got... tons of little cousins, and
right.
You know,
and Jim's always, and he's always fighting them off.
Yeah, beating 10 of them down at a time, and then taking their hatchimals and you know stuff like that. But I found what I think is, you know, I think the only reason it's still hold on, I think it's still on TV is because of our generation and above.
The tradition of it.
Right, the tradition of it. Like, the whole thing, like, I don't... Do they even play The Wizard of Oz every year now, still?
On Christmas?
No,
yeah,
not
I don't
on Christmas,
know
but... But there was a certain time of year they'd always play Wizard of Oz. But, anyway, my point is...
They did during Christmas time, for sure.
Just like, you know, A Christmas Story's always on, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, no, they're not into it as much, but they are. And the reason I'm contradicting myself is because they don't get excited like we did. Like, oh, my God, it's going to be on Tuesday at 7 or, you know, at 8 o'clock. Holy shit. You know, popcorn ready, sitting down in front of the TV. Fuck yeah, it's on! Because they've all got it on DVDs or, you know, whatever, stuff like that. And... Like, I like them, so of course I have them, so, you know, my cousins will be there or whatever, and they'll be like, can we watch Rudolph? And it'll be like March. But, you know, during the holiday season, they get some regular play. But I don't think the excitement and build-up to anticipation, like, I remember going to school when I was, like, I don't know, 10 years old, being like, oh my God, Rudolph's on tonight, what are you guys doing? They're like, watching fucking Rudolph, what do you think?
Yeah, because, you know, like when you were 10, that was the one time of year that it was going to be on. There, it wasn't on demand for somebody to pop in a DVD
right.
or put it on like Netflix or whatever the hell, you know, streaming service it's on. It was that one night a year that it was on CBS or whatever, and that was it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
If you didn't catch it at 8:30 on that Tuesday night, you were fucked for the until like next you know
until
December
it came out on VHS.
They weren't out. I don't. You know, I'm sure they probably were, but
eventually,
I,
I'm
I
sure.
I had it on VHS.
VHS was a lot different than DVD though. When DVDs came out, it really everything fucking was on DVD and affordable and available. There isn't anything you couldn't find on DVD.
Yeah. But I didn't mean to. Take you off onto a different subject.
No,
so,
no,
mean,
it's a very good question, and I think the popularity's still there and the traditions there of people passing it on and watching it, kind of like, you know, the same thing with, like, you know, they've tried to make different toys and all the toys fail, so they brought back all the shit that we grew up with, and we're like, oh shit, I'm gonna buy my kids Turtles, you know, or
I mean,
Star Wars stuff's out. It's the nostalgia and the tradition of it, but I don't think it's necessarily like, you know, like. My little cousin, you know, if you say he's over, my littlest one, say if he's like over and he's like, I want to watch Year Without a Santa Claus, we'll throw it in and watch it. Where it's not like, you know, I'd be like 2 weeks before it's coming up, I'd be like, Luca, Year Without a Santa Claus is coming up, you know. It's there's no build up to it. It's all instant.
Oh yeah, there's no anticipation.
Right. To them, there's no excitement to it. It's like, yeah, I want to watch it. Let's watch it.
Do you think there's any of those like things, like shows that they've produced, like say in the last 15 to 20 years, that have that level of excitement that people have for like the classic ones? Like, you know, you mentioned Rudolph. There's Frosty. There's the Peanuts one. What are some of the other ones I'm forgetting?
Year Without a Santa Claus.
Year Without a Santa Claus. Even some of the movies, like the I know they used to play Sound of Music. You mentioned Wizard of Oz. I think even Star Wars would occasionally get some play in that.
What about what about Christmas Story? Of course.
Oh, Christmas Story. Yep,
yeah, I mentioned that a little bit ago. It's always
that on, one's almost Christmas like thing. That one has almost like stood the test of time the best.
No, but, I agree. I mean, like that one now, you know, like that's changed where it would be played maybe the one night a year. It changed to being played like for the 24 hours of Christmas.
Right.
So it's kind of been.
Yeah, like
it's
even
kind
over,
of been changed, but
over my parents, usually like somehow TBS ends up on and it just stays on all day and the Christmas Story is just on a fucking
loop. Oh yeah, we end up doing the same thing. Like we probably go through at least like two or three
exactly
cycles
like,
of it.
Yeah, I used to do the same with my grandfather.
Well, it's not you're just sitting there watching it. It just somehow ends up on that channel and it's just like, hey, it's Christmas Story, leave it on.
Or you'd end up watching Disney Parade, a.k.a. the one-hour-and-a-half Disney propaganda film.
Yeah.
Oh, aren't we forgetting about Die Hard?
No, I was going to actually get to Die Hard, but...
Batman Returns, my favorite Christmas movie ever.
Like, but is there anything now, though, that, like, or anything, like, from... the recent times that has that kind of like, will it have that kind of staying power?
Well, even no, like I want to mention the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
All right.
Like that's another one. I would be up and ready and poised at that TV waiting for it to freaking start, man. And I can't remember.
Yeah. Cause you wanted to see all your characters and everything.
Yeah, the
you
floats
know?
And what's going to be the new one. But I can't remember the last time I watched it. And I think, even Victoria growing up probably only watched it a couple times. It's just not the same. But now
what's weird is, you know, they had a replay of it on this year.
Oh really? I didn't.
Yeah, like at 6 or 7 o'clock it was on again.
That's weird.
But, like in the evening.
Huh, that is really weird. But I don't know. I guess we get to your thing too. And sorry I cut you off, Dylan. But is there anything nowadays? I'm sure there is if we thought about it, but I can't really think anything off the top of my head.
I think honestly, if anything, that I think a lot of people almost have like kind of like disdain for those kinds of movies. I mean, you really do not see like holiday films coming out and then like, you know, raking in like the accolades or anything. It's just like a cheap mark. I mean, I remember like the one year where it was like Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day, like all, and it was just like, oh my god, there's like 85 famous people in this movie.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, they're all the same movie, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, did you guys see Christmas
Queen
Party?
Queen Latifah was in the one.
What?
Did you guys see Christmas Party? With no. T.J. Miller, Jennifer Aniston,
no.
Jason Bateman. That...
Nope.
Dude, fucking hilarious, dude. It great.
Is it really?
Yes, it was phenomenal. Great movie, dude.
Christmas Party?
Yeah, I think that's what it was called. Let me look it up.
I'm looking it up right. Or Office Christmas Party.
That might have been what it is. But...
Office Christmas Party. Jason Bateman.
Olivia
Munn. T.J. Miller.
Like
okay.
Years ago.
All
right. It is
I'll put that on my list of movies to watch, like the Christmas movies to watch, because I still haven't watched Bad Santa 2 yet.
I haven't seen Bad Santa 2
It currently has a 41% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, Rotten Tomatoes can suck my dick, because that movie is fucking good.
Yeah, I don't know how much weight I can put into Rotten Tomatoes anymore, because there's movies I like that they just kind of shit on.
You know? I respect that they got their opinions, and everybody has different tastes, but, dude, I'm telling you guys. Actually, you guys should watch it, and then we should talk about it, like, before Christmas or something, but to see what you guys take on it is, because I love
it. We'll have it out by January 15th, then.
Yeah. I even bought it, and me and Victoria watched it a couple times. It's such a good movie.
Cool, we'll have to check that out. Maybe I'll do a double feature of Office Christmas Party and Bad Santa 2.
There you go. But, God, I don't know. What did you have a movie in mind or a show in mind or something? Like, I know they made the David Pumpkins cartoon special this year. I didn't even see it. I wanted to, but, you know, I don't even know if that was any good. But
oh, did I have a show in mind that was
be you like doing, in that? Like, how you said, is there something that's kind of on the same fame as those movie or shows? Even like Rankin and Bass at one point, I think it was maybe 15 years ago. I don't know if it was specifically going to be them, but it was going to be under their banner. They were talking about doing some new stories, not remakes of like Rudolph or anything, just some new stories of the stop motion animation or whatever.
Well, didn't they sequelize some of the characters and whatnot? Did they make like a Rudolph 2 and shit like that?
I think Rudolph 2 was a cartoon.
Oh, okay.
Remember, but yeah, there were some things like a Frosty one. They had a spinoff of a cartoon. Like there's like a right. Frosty 2 and 3 or something. I don't know. They had different names. They weren't called 2 and 3.
I honestly didn't have anything in mind. I was asking it like because I was like, is there really anything that kind of has been put up on that, you know, up on that level?
Yeah.
And I don't know if there is.
And to Dylan's point, like I very much consider Die Hard, the very first one, a Christmas movie. That's right, Julie Stanley, if you ever listen to this, Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
So is Batman Returns.
I honestly don't even remember it.
You don't remember Catwoman and the Penguin?
Oh, with Keaton. Okay, yes.
It was good.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It's really good. It's very Burton, but it's very good.
Yeah, I'm not a big Tim Burton fan. I think that's why.
I'm not either, but I like the early Tim Burton films, although I haven't seen Ed Wood yet.
I think Batman, the first Keaton one, was great, but I don't know, the Penguin one was very very dark and Burton-y. Not like Batman dark, just weird dark.
But I don't know, it still kind of worked. I like that movie a lot. I think fucking Michelle Pfeiffer is so good as Catwoman.
Yeah, she is. God, just trying to think if there's been any like notable Christmas specials or shows or I really can't.
It might just be something that we're just not. I don't know.
Like, do we honestly care about it anymore?
No, but I was just kind of curious.
No, I see what you're saying, Dylan, but I do just because I think they were so special to me growing up. But.
I'd say the last big like Christmas movie to come out was probably Love Actually.
They don't have to be movies either. I mean, like the Rankin and Bass were just TV shows.
Well, then I mean, arguably, like probably the biggest Christmas special that comes out every year, I think, is Doctor Who. I think I don't even watch Doctor Who, but I know there's always a Christmas special.
Oh, that might be that might be a good thing. I mean, that Yeah, I can agree with that. That's a huge thing.
Here we go.
Yeah, it's usually like if it's not when they're transitioning into like a new actor to play the Doctor, it's usually like
almost like a kickoff of the next season.
Yeah, it's like
a transition between two seasons.
Yeah, it's like an in between for like that the season before it and the season to follow, and it's like It's like a 90-minute special or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got a TimeLifeTime.com, the 10 greatest childhood Christmas TV specials from your childhood.
Okay. Let's go through them.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, 1964. I mean, there's descriptions and stuff if you want to go check it out.
Well, we should probably.
Right. I'm a fan. I like that one. I like the big snowman.
Yeah. Did you want a description? The Bumble. That's what his name was. That was Victoria's favorite toy when she was a kid, Bumble.
Okay.
She slept with it every night for years. Did you want to hear the descriptions, Mike, or were you saying we'll go through them?
All right, let's keep going. Okay. If we're not sure of one, you can read the description.
Oh, but as I scroll through it real quick before I told you I found it, there's a couple that I was like, oh. Number 2, Charlie Brown Christmas, 1965.
Okay, yep.
And what's weird, too, is like 64, 65, next one 66, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I mean,
oh, yeah. Grinch. How could you
forget the Grinch? How to forget the Grinch? I love the Grinch.
I knew we weren't drawing on all of them there. Nem was probably screaming at his headphones or whatever, going, man, the Grinch, Nooch.
You know, man, I got to be honest. I kind of like the Jim Carrey one. There's something about it.
It's decent. I don't know how well I do or don't like it. I have no problem with it.
There's some funny lines in it.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, take it or leave it.
It's not the Boris Karloff version. Don't get me wrong, but it's pretty. It's got its moments.
Wasn't there a Rocky and Bullwinkle Christmas special?
There probably was.
I think this one I never did like, and it seems to be pretty popular with a lot of people, was The Little Drummer Boy, 1968.
I was almost thinking that one might be on there.
Boy song.
No, I don't know why. It wasn't. I think because it had.
It was a little dramatic.
It wasn't very character-y driven. It was more religious-based. It was about the drummer boy going to see Jesus being born and the three wise men and all that stuff. And it's like, you know, I grew up Catholic, and it's like, yeah, I heard this story before. Where's Santa? You know, I don't know. It wasn't very exciting, even though in its own right, I mean, not that I'm taking away from it. It really told a better story of Christmas than the, you know, the marketable Christmas. Frosty the Snowman.
All right.
Okay. Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
That one, I'm not sure I know that one.
Oh, really? Fred Astaire was the host on that one? It was.
We're forgetting like the most important Christmas movie of all time, honestly. I haven't seen it, but it's the one that everyone talks about. And that's...
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. Thank you. I could not remember the name.
There's a few others that, I mean, yeah, that would come to mind that people always bring up. Is like Miracle on 34th Street, right. And Christmas Vacation.
I know one that's kind of modern that I think was fucking great was Polar Express.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was a really good movie. Tom Hanks was in it, yeah.
I didn't like that... that live action shit that like, or the, you know, the
CGI,
like the, it was just, I just didn't like the way it looked.
Oh, I loved it.
I just said, I'm not going to watch this cause I don't like the way it looks.
Here's another one that I wasn't that fond of, but it was meh. It was all right. 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. It was like the, hand drawn. It was Rankin and Bass again, though. And right. It was more very British-y.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
I do remember it, yep.
So there was that. Year Without a Santa Claus. And that had Heat Miser and Cold Miser in it. Now here's one that when I flip through, I'm like, oh, yeah. Emmett's Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Oh, shit. Yeah, how could we forget that one?
Yeah, the Jim Henson Christmas special.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack Frost. I vaguely remember Jack Frost. I think that was one of the last Rankin and Bass ones I ever did. Now, this one here, there's a AMC.
I don't know.
AMC, where, to your point, Dylan, is a top 20 movie list of Christmas.
Wait. AMC's The Walking Dead special.
It has a Walking Dead ad right at the top, of course.
Could you imagine? Rick and Carl and Negan and Michonne are all sitting around a tree singing Christmas carols and killing walkers.
You know, honestly, I would not be surprised.
There's some walker that comes out, it's got a little Santa hat on it perched on its head.
Well, for whatever reason this list is not loading. Okay, we'll skip that one then.
Jim's like, yeah, well, you know, fuck that.
So Jim, to bring this back around though, you started, we were going to talk about Christmas songs, and you started to bring up Rankin and Bass.
Oh, yeah. So I think Holly Jolly Christmas is my favorite Christmas song.
Okay, right on.
And then you got the I'm Mr. Heat Miser, I'm Mr. Cold, you know. those two, that song. I think those two are pretty. The whole Rankin and Bass, everything Rankin and Bass, dude, it just fucking is top shelf to me, dude. I loved them as a kid. I still love them now. I think they're great and they're timeless. So,
Dylan, do you have any holiday songs that warm the cockles of your heart?
Not particularly. I generally hate Christmas music because you have to fucking hear the same goddamn songs over and over and over and over and over again. I kind of like this one song that I don't even remember what it was, but it was Bing Crosby and David Bowie, and I just liked it because it was the concept of David Bowie and Bing Crosby doing a song together.
Was it Little Drummer Boy?
It might have been. I really don't remember.
I think it's Little Drummer Boy.
I mean, again, like, that's cool, but then I had to hear it, like, 55 times when I was at Supercellars, so I don't really like it anymore. No, I generally don't like Christmas/holiday music. I just get bored and tired of hearing it over and over and over again. What?
I just thought of a new one, too.
I just heard Jim Gold?
I just popped in my head.
It's Peace on Earth / Little Drummer Boy from 1977.
Is it We Are the World?
What?
Or whatever that song is? Or We Are... What's that song they did? Wasn't that released around Christmas time?
We Are the World? No, that...
That wasn't a Christmas time song? No. I thought it was something else.
No, they came out with Very Special Christmas, where all kind of,
famous... Oh, that's what it is.
Famous
but
or...
It was, like, the same kind of concept, right?
Yeah, basically. The movie that popped into my head that's kind of modern, but... I think it's probably like 10 years old now. It's Elf.
Oh, you know what? I do like Elf. Elf was good.
Yeah, Elf is really good. And what's weird is I love Will Ferrell, but I don't like standalone Will Ferrell, like where he's the headliner. I think he is so funny, but not as the main draw.
I really don't like most Will Ferrell movies. But
it's not because I don't like him. I think he's hilarious. I don't know what it is, but like when he's a supporting character... He's just fucking hilarious. But
I like him in certain roles. Like kind of in the same vein, I guess. But I don't know. There's just like certain times I like him and other times I don't think he's very funny. Like I'm a big fan of Celebrity Jeopardy on SNL.
Oh yeah, those were good. Can I have anal bum covers? That's an album cover.
That says anal bum cover.
Because your mother's a whore, Trebek.
The best fucking part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, just scrolling through some of these other lists, Mike. They're pretty similar. I mean, random stuff thrown in here and there, like you mentioned, Miracle on 34th Street.
I was really kind of thinking about, like, when you brought this topic of favorite Christmas songs to us, and I was trying to think of what I could say and which ones I liked or whatever. And one that I saw performed live, I think that was probably one of my favorite things to see performed live is Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band doing Santa Claus Is Coming to Town.
Yeah, I do like that one because I'm a Bruce fan.
I mean, with of course the Clarence Clemens doing the really bassy "You Better Be Good for Goodness Sakes," it gets me every time. And I was at a performance. I think it was in December of God, what year was that? It goes back quite a few years. I picked my brother up from school in Potsdam, and we drove to Albany. And we saw Bruce perform. I want to say it was maybe like 2004 or so, somewhere around there. If he ever hears this, he'll probably correct me. He probably knows the exact date. And they performed that. And it was the coolest fucking thing because, you know, like if you know anything about Bruce, Dylan, I know you do, he'll always take requests.
The signs and whatnot.
The entire audience, the way they requested that song that night, they threw Santa hats up on the stage.
That's pretty awesome.
It was like everybody just had them. It was crazy how many Santa hats were up on that stage. So they played it, man, and it it's bringing chills to me now, you know, like I got goosebumps. And it was so cool. It was so cool to see. But with that in mind, the other band that came to mind as far as performance-wise is there's this local band called the Campbell Brothers. And they do this I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, Dylan. There's this thing called Sacred Steel, which it's basically, it's almost kind of like a form of like gospel music. Okay. But with, it's like played on like pedal steel guitars and lap steels and regular guitar, and it's really kind of neat. If there's anybody that's kind of gone from like playing like in their church to mainstream, it would be Robert Randolph. I don't know if you know who he is or not, but it's very energetic and high energetic music. And this band, the Campbell Brothers, are from Rochester, and their church is here in Rochester, and they put out a really great Christmas album several years ago. And there's a couple really cool songs on it. They do a version of Silent Night that's really cool. Mm-hmm. And then the other one I wanted to mention, it's not so much a Christmas song, but a holiday song. They do the dreidel song.
Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel.
Yeah, and it's just fun. It's a fun song. You know, it's just really cool. I really enjoy that. And I don't know if I necessarily have a favorite holiday song, but I think those three would probably be ones that I could come up with that kind of go all over the place as far as different songs go that I really enjoy.
You know what really got into at one point, and I've seen them live a couple times, and I think they've been played so much, but they're great performers, was TSO. And just now anymore, it's like...
You know, it's funny. I was just about to say that. I saw TSO, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, once. I don't ever need to go again. But it was fun. I dug it.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them a couple times.
Whoever's in that band, I mean, those guys can fucking... Those guys and girls, I don't even know who's in the band anymore. But I mean, those people, like, they can play. Like, they're talented people. Yeah.
Two different touring versions of it.
Yeah, I don't want to say overdone, because it's not like you hear them in spring and summer, but I think they gained so much popularity and they were on so much.
Yeah, yeah. I bought a few of their albums, and they're good to listen to, but. Man, you really got to kind of be in that mood to want to really listen to those albums.
Exactly.
But I would think you would really be into that, Dylan, because of the pedigree of the people involved in that. It's like a who's who of, like, you know, prog, rock, metal performers, you know? But Jim, there was a flip side to this thing that you asked. And you asked favorite, but you also asked least favorite.
Well, I get a question, I think, before we get into least favorite.
What's that?
Is, you know, this is along the vein of, you know, Die Hard being a Christmas movie or not. Is George Michael's Last Christmas a Christmas song?
Some respects, yeah.
I don't know, it seems to be mixed camps on that one, just like Die Hard. Like, you know, it is or it isn't, but I don't know. I think the melody and the tone and the song, it's everything. I think it flows right into Christmas. I consider it a Christmas song.
You never hear it any other time of the year.
Not really. But so least favorite. Do you guys have any like least favorite?
Basically anything that gets played over and over and over again.
There's numero uno one that the radio station that Liz has our alarm clock program to plays, it seems like, almost every other morning during the Christmas time. And it's probably the creepiest Christmas time song of all time. If you guys don't know it, you'll know it when I say, "Baby, It's Cold Outside."
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That song, I cringe every time I hear it.
Yeah.
It's so creeptastic. It is. It really is.
Yeah, and going along the lines of the one like Rankin and Bass, like the Little Drummer Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that fond of that song, and I don't know why. If it was just, I'm just not that fond of it.
I kind of like the Little Drummer Boy. Like I said, I just don't like anything that I hear constantly on the radio. And, like, I've heard it all, so it's just like, fuck this. I don't want to fucking hear it. I just don't fucking care. I don't like it. I've heard it too many times in retail. It just fucking sucks. All of it sucks.
Oh, that's true, dude. You had to listen to that shit over and over.
So I pretty much don't like any of it. Anyway, you know what? Fuck Christmas music. I hate listening to it. It mostly sucks. Like I said, there's exceptions.
You mostly suck.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I think that brings us to another topic.
Oh, yeah?
The Avengers Infinity War trailer? Did you guys watch it?
I did just watch it before we got on.
I watched it a few times.
I mean, like, I was kind of just whatever on it.
I think it was very, there's a lot in 2 minutes, so.
I guess. The only part that got me, like, really jazzed was when Black Panther was making his speech and he was like, and somebody get this guy a shield. And then Captain America walks out and he has a beard. And that was kind of cool.
You like guys with beards?
I mean, Captain America looked pretty badass with a beard. I'm a Cap fan. What can I say?
I guess.
I don't know. I just was like, you know, I don't really care about fucking Thanos anymore. They've been building him up since, like, I mean, when did Avengers come out? 2012? It's been fucking 5 years since then.
I don't know. I love how they've done the Marvel Cinematic Universe and how it's all tied together.
I mean, in theory, it works good, but I'm just like, I don't know. I didn't get that excited about it.
I am. I'm really pumped to see the build up. And
like, I'll still go see it, but, I'm just like, I don't know. It was okay. It was fine. I think Black Panther's cool. I'm excited for that movie.
What I think is going to be awesome is, and you know, me and you've talked about this before, Dylan, is right now they're just rehashing a lot of comic book stories and updating characters to modernize them and changing stories around here and there and doing this and that. Like, I watched a video of, like, this guy's breakdown on the Avengers trailer and, like, what's speculated and all the things that they've said or whatever, you know, as far as, you know, like, they expect major characters to die and things like that and whatever else. So, anyway, my point is I love what they've done with the Marvel Cinematic Universe up till now. What I'm really excited for is, like, Avengers 3 and 4, where they finish those off, because, like, I think Thor, Captain America, Iron Man, and somebody else, all their contracts are up after the Avengers, the second Avengers, or Avengers 4. So, I think it would be really cool is if they kill off some characters, and then they bring in, like this is, like, everything that goes up to Avengers 4 is, like, the very first, like, Marvel Cinematic Universe story. And then they start on a whole new story and build that up for, like, you know, 20 movies or whatever, however many movies it took them to build this up.
If they're going to do that, they should really think about doing some. I mean, if they're just like, all right, we've got all the big name players out of the way, they should really start looking into some of the more, like, nuanced and interesting characters in the series. No, but
that's what I'm saying. I'm looking forward to that ending.
And like, they should do, like, Young Avengers and stuff.
Nah, not even that shit. Like where we're going to see, like, you know, probably, like, back Black Panther, like, take a front role. Like, you know, maybe see, like, Moon Knight come out. You know, like, all kind of characters that aren't
going to... Well, yeah, they should put the fucking Young Avengers in it.
Could they incorporate, like, the Netflix characters into it?
They've already said that they're going to.
No, okay. Well, supposedly they came out and they said they're not going to, but...
But I'm not ultimately down, like, the path that Jim is going down.
Like, yeah, absolutely. Like, the guys...
There might be, like, a Daredevil cameo in, like, Infinity War 2 or something.
But, well, what's his name that plays Daredevil?
Charlie Cox?
Yeah, in an interview, he said that when they did their contracts for the Marvel Netflix series, that they had to sign in the contract that if those characters ever appear in movies, that they play that character. It's not like they get to recast it like, say, DC did. So if, like you're saying, like if, say, Daredevil and Luke Cage and Iron Fist show up in the Avengers 4, the second part of the Infinity Gauntlet stuff, it's those guys. There's nobody else except for them that play them while they're all under contract. So the Marvel Cinematic Universe is completely congruent. But I would like to see them redo some stuff. I mean, I'd like to see, like, some stuff with, you know,
say, Spider-Man and Daredevil and Punisher or something like that, because how many stories that were awesome when I was younger reading the comics of those three, and, you know, they're all relatively close to each other. They should be able to do it, but I doubt they will.
I have not finished Punisher yet, but it's not bad so far.
I really liked it. Did you watch it, Mike?
I haven't yet. I'm still... Well, I just finished up Stranger Things 2.
That was really good, too.
I enjoyed it. And then...
I did not watch it, because
I had intended on watching... What's the combined show with all the...
Oh, The Defenders? I did not like The Defenders.
I wasn't that fond of
it. I intended on watching that next.
Thankfully, it's only 8 episodes.
Everybody bagged on
it. Oh, is it only 8?
Yeah, that's not... And I don't think they're even 50 minutes long. Like, everybody made fun of Iron Fist or said it was horrible. I liked
the enjoyed it.
I liked Iron Fist better than I liked The Defenders.
Oh, wow.
But and I'm not saying that the Defenders was a complete bag of shit. Just for what the individual series were and how good they were, the lead up to that, to what they delivered, was not what I expected.
I thought Luke Cage was fantastic.
Yeah, they all, to me, they all.
I completely disagree.
So I've loved all of them. I think Daredevil season 2 has been the best one out of all of them. Well,
Punisher, really? I 100% disagree. I thought Daredevil season 2, honestly, like, kind of sucked.
That's been my favorite one so far.
My favorite one is still Daredevil season 1, and then Jessica Jones.
Kilgrave fucking nailed that, man. He was the best part of that.
Who?
Kilgrave.
Yeah, he was good. I think they made him a little too sympathetic. But I thought Luke Cage was good up until they killed Diamondback, and then I didn't even watch Iron Fist because I heard it sucked so much. And then I did not like The Defenders. I thought it was pretty bad overall. And then half of Daredevil, and then Daredevil season 2 was like, it started out good, and then it just got so fucking bad. I don't even like Daredevil anymore in the series. I really find Matt hard to deal with.
Wow. You guys might be far more familiar with the source material than I am, but I've enjoyed what I've watched thus far.
Yeah, I think I really enjoyed Luke Cage. My only complaint about Luke Cage was I think it was too many episodes. They drugged out some of the stuff for too long.
I'll agree with you there. I think that's
the problem with most of the series is that they don't need to be 13 episodes long.
No, not at all.
I thought Iron Fist was probably a good length, but I'll agree with you on Luke Cage. I'll also agree with Dylan about Diamondback, because I thought the character was just so dynamic that he needed to be there longer than he was. Yeah. That character really should have been more of the focal point than, what the fuck was her name? The political...
Diamondback number 2.
Yeah.
And they gave Shade so much radio time.
But I fucking hated Shades.
But they didn't do anything with him. It's like...
No, he didn't. It's just Juice from fucking Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, I just... And Blades is a fucking cool character. Oh, yeah. You know? They didn't do Blades justice. I would have liked to have seen a lot more from him for as much time as they put into him. Yeah. And they had the fucking poster or painting or whatever, a Biggie up. All the... Oh.
Yeah, of course you're mad about the fucking Biggie shit.
I don't know. I think Cottonmouth did a pretty good job. I really did like Luke Cage.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not Diamondback. Diamondback was Cottonmouth. Was he the guy that he fought at the end of the series?
No, that was Diamondback.
That was Diamondback. Was I'm sorry. I meant Cottonmouth. I don't. All right. Who's who?
Cottonmouth was the guy in Luke Cage that got killed by his What was it? His sister, cousin, whatever the fuck she was, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to butcher this guy. It was Mahershala Ali, right? It was the guy from Game of Thrones, from House of Cards, right?
Yeah.
Okay, he was the first Cottonmouth, and then it was Alfre Woodard was Maria Dillard, but she was Cottonmouth too.
I guess, yeah. They didn't refer to her that way, but yeah.
Did they call her Black Mamba?
Yeah.
Black Mamba, okay.
But yeah, well, it was Diamondback. At the end, it was Diamondback that he fought.
Yeah, I didn't like Diamondback. I did not like him as a character. I didn't think he was very well developed.
Well, he was just thrown in. It was they didn't develop him at all, but
no, I didn't like him.
It would have Okay.
It would have been better to have a huge standoff. I mean, granted, you know, Luke Cage would have pounded him into the ground, but it would have been better to have some kind of standoff with, like, you know, Cottonmouth and Luke Cage, like, I don't know, or Shades, like, with Shades' powers.
Yeah, like, see, the thing that I have the most problem, the hardest time with is, like, I really like the guy who plays Luke Cage, and I think he does the character a lot of justice. I think he does him very well. I just wish he had better material to work with.
I don't know. I liked it.
I think he's really good. I really do. I think, honestly, the person who was the most consistent throughout the entire series was probably Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that was all about, other than to have the character across them all.
I liked her in every single appearance that she had in the show.
Yeah. Oh, she did a good job. She's a phenomenal actress, but I don't... to me, she really didn't have that big of a purpose. She was in all of them and didn't have that great of a purpose.
Oh, she had a... Oh, she was not... She wanted to be in the Punisher one, but apparently she's not in it.
Said they put Karen in it, which I still don't get, but...
Yeah, I don't get that either, but maybe we can talk about that when I actually finish the series. So...
Whatever, Dylan.
So, Avengers...
I mean, we thought we weren't going to have anything to talk about tonight.
Oh, we got like plenty to talk about. You knew this was going to happen, Dylan.
What else? I mean,
it's been a couple of weeks we haven't recorded. You knew it was just going to be diarrhea of the mouth.
Oh, I know what we could talk about. My fucking disgust for you two.
Oh, yeah. What?
Yeah. Wait. Before he gets into it, though,
what he thinks it is.
We took some bets on what we think it is. Do we want to have Jim just come out and say?
No, I like this idea. Let's propose to him what we think that. We should propose to him, and then we can be married, and that'll be great.
Nice.
But we should definitely do that and see if we get any of it right.
Okay, should be pretty easy.
Okay, so Dylan had one guess, and I thought his guess was actually really good. I'll go with a couple of guesses first, which I. Now, after what Dylan said, he thought it was, I think he's probably correct.
Okay.
There were two things that happened recently on the podcast that were my initial guesses. One is us laughing at you for thinking that Seattle was a state.
That was funny.
But that's not it, is it?
That's not it.
No, that's not it.
Okay. Or some continued resentment about us since we just released the episode like a week or so ago that we recorded with Ming without you and then we dropped it into an episode.
Oh, no.
Okay, so that's not it either. Mm-hmm. So Dylan, I think you're right.
I think it's probably mine. That you seem to have a very big problem with the fact that neither one of us is going to see The Last Jedi on opening weekend, let alone opening day.
Thank you.
You called it, Dylan.
Why are you so salty about this?
You're seeing it Christmas Eve night. By that time, I'll probably have seen it three times.
Yeah, well, you know what? It must be fucking nice to have the fucking free time that you have.
I'll make it for that.
Hey, in Jim's defense, Dylan, you could be seeing it in Brooklyn. What I'm saying?
No, I can't. All right, when does it come out?
The 15th. So Dylan's waiting a whole 9 fucking days.
It comes out the 15th. And then, because Sarah's going to see it with her parents.
When?
Wait, when? The following weekend.
After December? Or after?
Her parents are going to be...
Like the 22nd, 23rd.
Yeah. I don't want to go opening fucking weekend because it's going to be a goddamn madhouse. I'm sure that's the same reason Mike doesn't want to go.
And Dylan has just spoken to why I would not
go. I'm just saying, you guys' priorities are all fucked up.
No, my priority is I do not like dealing with people.
But
and
now there's a Canadian breakfast stout. Let's go fucking stand out in the cold and get in line for that.
Wow. Hey, you know... You know who didn't stand out in the cold for any of the six bottles of Bourbon County Stout that he got this weekend?
Was it you?
This guy. You want to know why? Because I went to Wegmans where they treat everybody right. And I waited inside.
But your argument of not wanting to deal with people and going out and all this stuff, you fucking went out on Black Friday, the busiest of all days.
Yeah, you know how many people were waiting in line for that beer?
You and Sean.
20 people. You know how orderly it was?
Very.
It was so fucking orderly. There wasn't people sliding or pushing into a gate or any of that bullshit.
I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm just questioning you guys' level of commitment towards
I don't like people, so I will wait until Tuesday or Wednesday of the following week and then go.
But this is where you should put those differences aside. First of all, it's that time of year. Second of all, it's Star Wars.
Okay, but hey, you know what? I could put all my differences aside, Jim, but it's all those fuckers that will be in that theater on a Friday night to see that movie that I can't put differences aside for, because they're the ones who would fuck the movie up for me. Because it'll be loud.
Like fucking screaming at every line of dialogue. And,
oh my God. I would be so fucking pissed. Liz wouldn't stand for that. You know, and that's job one, is if we're going to go see that movie, she's got to be happy with the showing of it. So, you know, if there's people talking or saying a lot of shit during that showing of it, she's not going to be happy. So going on like a Tuesday or Wednesday of the following week is going to be perfect for me.
I am admittedly going on Christmas Eve, but we have like assigned seats. And by the way, holy shit, those tickets cost a lot of money.
Yeah, we discussed this on one of the previous episodes. You're spending.
I know. I just want to reiterate it.
Oh my God. So Jim, you knew this. You knew this was going to backfire on you when Dylan figured out what all this disgust for us was going to be about. You knew we were going to have some strong defenses about this.
Oh, not really. I don't care. You're wrong.
Wow.
I mean, however you guys want. It's just
ignorant prick.
I mean, I'm sorry. It's all I hear is excuses right now.
You know what? And all we're going to hear is about you bitching about some asshole who fucking ruined the movie for you.
Oh, so the movie was great, but there was this fucking Sarge in front of us, and he's the Sarge of the week because he wouldn't shut up, and he's just like, oh, man, I bet they're going to fucking reveal this, and then, oh, man, I called it.
Oh, Jim Edelston, I can't believe you're here seeing this movie. Oh, I came down from Brantford to Burlington to come and see you, and we're watching the movie together. Oh,
those fuckers would come down to do that. They all like Star Trek and think it's better, which, like, you know,
oh,
what?
Wait, that's true. Never mind.
And you know what? They're both good, so they're fucking wrong anyway.
That's where you're wrong, too. There's two people in this world, Star Trek people, Star Wars people.
And then there's Dylan, who likes both.
Ultimately, you can't.
Even Sarah disagrees with me. She's just like, eh, I'm not a big Trek fan. And I was like, I like Trek. I don't know why people who like Trek and I just don't understand why you can't get along.
No, that's why she's smart and you decided to date an intelligent woman.
Whatever. I'm not disputing the fact that she is an incredibly intelligent person. I'm just like, whatever, I can't fucking win with you.
I'm glad you qualified that after saying whatever.
I was
like, you better say something, Dylan.
No, his whatever was completely mean.
Like, whatever, Jim. You're fucking fuck.
Yeah, his whatever was a me. Had nothing to do with her.
Yeah. But, you know, it's smart move, Dylan. Smart move.
Yeah, true.
You know what? Whatever, Mike. We'll enjoy Star Wars on our own luxuries.
Exactly.
Oh, whatever. God. I'm going to fucking ruin it for you both just to be a dick.
You're not.
I will.
You won't. You know why? Because he wouldn't do that to Mike.
I'll be like, guess what? Snoke's really Luke Skywalker, so go fucking watch it now.
That better not be fucking true.
Watch it be true.
My fucking jaw would drop.
I don't even think I've heard that as a fucking fan theory, but
theories going around that his name? Benicio del Toro is actually Boba Fett.
I ignore most all that shit.
If there's one thing yet you've learned from me, even if there are spoilers for things, whether it's TV shows or movies or whatnot, I don't give a shit. If I'm interested in seeing it, I'll go fucking see it. Whatever.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So spoil away.
No, please don't spoil. I want to be surprised.
No, I'm at Jim. Jim, if you want to spoil it for me, go ahead. I don't give a fuck.
I wouldn't do that to you guys. I have too much respect for you two, but unlike that, it's not reciprocal, but it's cool.
God, he's just being such a fucking baby tonight.
Whatever, I was in a fucking great mood.
You weren't a great mood? What?
I was in a great mood, and then I got really sad thinking that you guys are not...
You know, like, you brought it upon yourself. You wanted to talk about this.
No. I'm just saying it makes me sad.
But it's nobody's fault but your own. You're the one that decided, oh, I'm going to get all fucking butthurt about these guys and their more intelligent movie-going patterns.
It's cool.
Dylan, I think you could still go see it on opening weekend.
I probably could.
I'm just saying it starts with not seeing Star Wars on opening night. Next thing it's going to be like, well, I can't record on Tuesday or Wednesday. What about Thursday?
I wanted to record on Thursday. I like Thursday, but y'all are like, let's do Wednesday. I said, okay.
Wait, I thought you said Wednesday was good for you.
Works for me. I just prefer Thursday. I'd rather be tired on Friday than tired tomorrow.
Honestly, this is the first I've heard of it. I actually scrolled back and looked because I wasn't sure if we were recording yesterday or tonight, and you picked tonight.
Because I said it was fine. But I remember when we had this initial discussion, I said I would prefer Thursday.
All right, you guys heard it here first. We're starting to record on Thursdays.
Oh, my fucking God.
I don't know. Tomorrow's my Friday anyway. I took off on Friday.
Nice.
Yes. So I can go shopping for CBS on Friday.
Sweet.
I have a guy that will hold it for Murray if he doesn't fucking sell it.
I'll just go buy it. Wegmans will have it for me.
Wegmans?
Yeah. Wegmans.
Wegmans?
Yeah, Wegmans. Gotta love Wegmans.
Gotta love Wegmans.
So, boys, I got some sad news.
Well, wait, did we switch over to new beverages?
I did, but, I mean, what, did you want to social media about those, too?
No, I'm not going to social about it, but we could just say what we've moved on to.
Oh, okay. Well, I moved on to something my good friend Dylan Gonzalez procured for me last month or the month before. I'm trying to think of when the hell it was, man. My memory's fading.
It was October.
It was in October. He procured for me a 6-pack of one of my favorite fall seasonal beers, Shafley's Pumpkin Ale.
And I got one of those too.
Is that what you're drinking?
No, but I still have 3 left.
Oh, I think I got 4 left, but I better save some for Liz, otherwise she might get angry at me.
You know what's funny? I actually aged one of those, and I did not find that it held up that well.
I still got some last year's in the fridge, and it's not bad. The flavors fell off a little bit.
Yeah, the flavors fell off a bit. I think it's a lot better fresh.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, that's what I'm drinking right now is a Shafley Pumpkin Ale. Just good amount of spice, nice pumpkin flavor. It tastes like pumpkin. It doesn't taste like a...
It tastes like pumpkin pie.
It doesn't taste like some approximation of like a sweetened pumpkin. It actually, I think it tastes more pumpkin-y than some other pumpkin ales.
I agree. I like it a lot. I have moved on to McKellar's Maple Vanilla Shake, which is an imperial stout with coffee, maple flavoring, and did I say vanilla or coffee? I got totally lost there. After 2. Dylan was bamboozled after 2 fucking words.
The sad thing is you started saying it, and I'm like, I don't know what he said.
It's an imperial stout with vanilla, maple, and coffee. Definitely got the coffee, a lot of maple in this. Has a bit of a burnt marshmallow flavor, which I guess might be the vanilla. The vanilla is kind of light, but overall, I like this. This is really good. It's a little bit, a little hot.
I've seen that one out and about, like in the stores. I had considered maybe picking up a bottle of it. Would you recommend if I did, like, maybe I held on to it for a little while and then had it?
This one, I don't know. I'm kind of like, I'm kind of iffy on if the flavors would hold up because of the just the nature of what is in it. I don't know if that coffee, I don't know how well maple holds up. I'm assuming well. It seems like something that people age. Huh. Or they can just have for a long time and it doesn't go bad. I don't know. I think this might be – it's not a a bourbon barrel stout, so I would assume that this one might be better to drink now, or it's perfectly fine to drink now. So, oh, you know what we opened up at my Friendsgiving was a bottle of So Happens It's Tuesday from the brewery. I wanted to mention that, actually. That was quite good. That was a bourbon barrel imperial stout, but it was really – it was quite sweet and rich, but it was pretty tasty, man.
Cool.
I dug that one. Like I said, I like the brewery. I think they make some really good beers. They just are kind of expensive.
Yep, I'll agree with you. So, guys, I was trying to think about weaving this tale to you, for you or to you about something that we – That kind of has a history in Jim's BBQ podcast lore. But the more I'm thinking about it, the more I think I might be able to salvage the item that I'm about to discuss with you.
Your bad news?
Well, I got a couple stories for you that maybe aren't the happiest of tales. But we'll see how they go. Because you guys might be able to poke some fun at both of these. So I went to get up for work one day last week. I think it was Wednesday, and I go to get dressed and I put my pants on. I go to put my belt on, and I realize that the little like pin that you put through the hole on my belt was missing. It was gone, and I'm literally sitting there. It's 20 minutes after 7. I'm like, shit, I gotta get to work. And if there's one time when you can't get to places in Rochester in 20 minutes, it's just before 8 o'clock during the week. So I'm like, oh, fuck. So I put the belt the rest of the way on and just kind of looped it through but didn't, like, tighten it up because I didn't have anything to tighten it with, right? Mm-hmm. The whole reason why I'm bringing this up is the belt that this happened to be. And I know I messaged you guys about
this. The bullet belt.
Yes. Sadly, it was the Remington shotgun shell belt that I purchased at Walmart way back when, what was it, about a year and a half ago. And you guys got to see it in person in Brantford. Not this past June, but the June before.
You should save that for the museum.
Well, the thing is I realized looking at it is I might be able to, like, maybe, like, fashion, like, another pin, you know, that would go through the holes on the belt and actually still use it. You know, looking at it in hindsight, I might be able to actually fix it. And just because of the lore that the belt has in our history, I might be willing to try something. But I had to bring it up to you because it was so funny. Like, so I get to work and everything, and I'm just sitting there, man, this is just gonna suck this whole day. I'm like, I couldn't go to a store. Like, I could have maybe tried to hit up Walmart before work, but I knew I wasn't gonna have time to do that. So I'm looking around the workplace. I'm going, man, what the hell can I do with this thing to kind of just, you know, because I put the belt on even though it was, you know, gonna be loose can be. I'm like, what can I do? And I'm like, man, I work in an IT department. We got all sorts of, like, tools and equipment at hand. Maybe there's something I can use to tie it. And when I think that word, I go, oh, shit, we got, like, reusable zip ties at hand. So that's exactly what I did. I ended up basically using a zip tie, like, in these reusable ones. You know how, like, a zip tie zips up, right? And if you want to get rid of it, you usually have to cut it, right?
Mm-hmm.
These ones, no, they have like a little release lever that you push down on the lever and then you can slide them back off.
So, those are probably not available internationally.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. That's what I always see people getting like fucking abducted with.
Well, dude, if you were abducting somebody, you wouldn't use those ones. You would use the, You would use the more permanent one.
I know. I realized my joke just fell flat.
No, it didn't, but I figured I would just kind of riff on it, you know? You would use the more permanent one, even internally.
That's funny. I thought the purpose of zip ties was to not release.
But if you were going to use them just temporarily to, like tie something up and you knew that you weren't going to, it wasn't going to be there permanently.
All right. I just didn't know that those existed. That's fucking crazy. I just remember there's all those movies where people get, like, abducted, whether it's, like, within the country or not. And it's just, like, they always use zip ties. And I remember one time my dad leaned over to me, and he was just like, God, that's so smart. And I'm just like, yeah, I know, Dad.
I mean, you know what I ended up using some of them for when I found out that they were great? I used them for, like, camping. Like if you ever need to, like, tie a tarp or whatever to, like, an easy-up awning.
They're great for that.
Yeah. I mean, they're natural for something like that. So, in any event, that's what I used through my belt for Wednesday to keep my pants up, basically, was a reusable zip tie.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I ended up going to Walmart after work and I bought another belt. It's by no means as awesome as
or elaborate.
Well, yeah, that's what I was getting at. It's not riveted with Remington shotgun shell facings on it, unfortunately.
That belt is just so legendary.
It is. It's amazing. It's an amazing belt. That's why I kind of want to try and salvage it and maybe see if I can come up with something that I can use to kind of fix it, if you will. Which I think I could probably come up with something. It's just trying to figure it out and everything, you know? So, yeah, I felt a little redneckish there with the zip tie, but, you know, we got through it.
That's good.
So one other thing happened in the last couple weeks, and I know you guys think I'm quite the law-abiding citizen. I don't know if I should discuss this on the podcast or not, so I want to get your take. And if we want to cut this out, we can. If you think this is incriminating, I can get rid of it. But I got into a little bit of legal trouble.
Uh-oh. And you're such a good guy.
I know. And that's the thing. That's why I'm wondering if I should leave this in or not, you know?
You don't want to tarnish your good name.
I know. And, if the cops hear this, you know, I know if anybody was going to tarnish my good name, it would probably be you two, right?
Oh, wow. It would be by accident.
Are you sure about that?
I'm not trying to do it on purpose.
So I got into a little trouble after playing hockey one night a couple weekends ago. I finished up playing and got in the van and was gonna head home, and I ended up getting pulled over.
Oh man, yeah. Why?
Well, you would think all these crazy things, you know, long-haired hippie, maybe I'd smoked something up a little bit, or maybe I had a little bit to drink, or whatever, you know, maybe I was running drugs. Nope, it was none of that.
Because you're such a fucking, like, crack dealer.
Yeah, you know me. Apparently, according to this friendly policeman in a town near Rochester, I rolled through a stop sign.
That sounds like a load of bullshit.
Well, you know, I got the feeling, you know, and I appreciate what cops do for us. You know, they're trying to keep the peace. They're trying to make everything safe for us. And don't get me wrong. I appreciate all that. And, you know, I have friends that are cops, and I appreciate everything that they do and, you know, all the work that they do for us. But I think that was probably the reason why I got pulled over. Was honestly, they were looking for people that were maybe in a bit more trouble than I was, if you get my meaning. It was the Saturday night before Thanksgiving. And while the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving is a huge party night, that Saturday night's probably just as big, if not bigger.
Well, you said the night before is the biggest party night, right?
Right, yeah. The Wednesday night before Thanksgiving is huge, but I bet that Saturday...
I can attest to that.
Yeah, I bet that Saturday's pretty big too, right?
The weekend before, yeah, because people travel, they're getting together.
Right, right. So I'm driving through this town. It's a bit of a college town, right? And, you know, I just finished playing hockey. I was just headed home. I hadn't had a drop of alcohol in like 3 or 4 days at that point. Normally I'll have a beer or two, not even when I play hockey, but like maybe at some point in those past 3 days, but I hadn't. I actually hadn't been feeling very well. So he pulls me over, and I think the whole thought was is he thought that maybe he was going to catch somebody that had maybe had a few too many.
And he just got you.
Yeah, yeah, and he just got me wanting to head home, wanting to, you know, get all cleaned up and go to bed. And, you know, I'm gonna go to court in that town, and I think I'm just probably gonna plead it down, you know, because
Jim, I'm really gonna show them.
Well, based on what I found out, is if you go to court, like if you actually show up and you plead, they'll actually reduce it down like even further than like what you could do like if you actually fought it.
Oh yeah, like I remember the first time I went through a stop sign. I had to go to court or the local courthouse, whatever the town was. I don't remember at the moment, but I didn't want the points. So I talked to the lawyer, and he's like, all right, well, it's basically just going to cost you like X amount of dollars more. And I was like, okay. And it was a fuckload of money. And then the second time it happened, I was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to plead guilty to it. And it was still a good amount of change, but it was at least half the amount of money that it cost to like get the points removed.
All right. Well, so, we'll see what happens. I think, based on what I saw, it'll probably get reduced down to like something like a parking ticket or something like that, you know?
Ideally.
Yeah. But the guy, I mean, even the cop, he says, like, he's like, look, he's like, if you actually show up, they'll reduce it down. So like, it won't cost you any points. It won't cost your insurance anything. You know, it'll just be a fine.
You're basically, at this point, you're basically doing him a favor.
Right.
Because he's still going to get like the ticket for his quota.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still like winning out. Like, I mean, realistically, the only reason he pulled you over was to meet a quota.
Right. And he, you know, if he caught somebody that had actually been in like trouble, you know, had been drinking or whatever, you know, that's even better. But he just happened to catch somebody that maybe not rolled through a stop sign.
Yeah. And, but you know, at that point in the month, they're looking for anything.
Right. Right.
I mean, even if it's like, you know, you could be going 5 miles over the speed limit on the highway, which is generally what is accepted around here. They can pull you over. Oh, you're speeding in the acceleration lane. It's like, yeah, you're supposed to do that on a normal day, but end of the month rolls around and suddenly everything changes.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that's the other thing is I haven't really had any tickets in. I think the last one I got was probably about 12 years ago. I mean, I'm not like Jim, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not driving down one-way streets the wrong way.
I haven't got a ticket in a while.
And then the one prior to that was the...
What do you mean driving down a one-way? Dude, it was like 200 feet.
Wow, he got so defensive.
He did. I even have another witness in the vehicle that was with us.
Yeah, Jeff.
No, it was Sean. It was
Sean. Sean Fury.
So I missed the turn for the tunnel, and there was a little parking structure or whatever. Not structure, just a parking lot. So I turned around in it and like went diagonal over to the tunnel. It was a one-way street, but I went diagonal the opposite way just to go back. But it was like 200 friggin' feet.
Wrong way down a one-way track.
So basically what I'm gathering out of this whole thing, Mike, is you're going to take all the time to go do this, but you still won't go see Star Wars on opening night.
It still won't be opened by then.
Right.
No, and we've already discussed this. There's multitude of reasons why we won't go to see Star Wars on opening night. And it comes down to...
Are we still talking about this?
It comes down to four words, Jim. Happy wife, happy life.
Nice.
That's all I got to say about that. Or as my good friend Forrest Gump used to say, that's all I got to say about that. Yes, I mean, you're going to probably kill us for this until the movie comes out, I'm sure.
That's okay.
If not longer. Apparently it isn't, though. Apparently it isn't. Apparently you have a real hard time believing that the Dylan and I are not going to go see that movie.
Oh, I do have a difficult time wrapping my head around it. If it was like a real Transformers movie, I'd already be sitting in line.
Good for you.
They said a real Transformers movie.
Oh, you mean not like the real ones that already exist?
Right.
Well, you have to specify that because I just assume that you're like going to see that fucking Michael Bay schlock.
No. Fucking one person single-handedly ruined my fucking childhood.
Funny how that works.
So, guys, I'm sure I'll have an update for you as far as how
Yeah, I'm all curious that goes. To see how it goes with you pleading it down.
Yeah. Well, I hope it goes well. I mean, I'm gonna take a little time off of work and go out there and, you know, be at the mercy of the judge.
How funny would it be if the judge is like, well, I've got a note here from my Jim Edelston.
He's like, do you know this person?
I'm like, oh no, I don't know him, Your Honor. I have no idea who that is.
That'd be funny as fuck.
I'll actually use that voice.
Oh.
All of a sudden, I'll be in jail for the rest of my life for some murder I didn't commit.
Yeah. Be awesome.
I'll be like, oh, but I want to go to WrestleMania.
Nice. You know, he still hasn't fucking gotten out. They're still fighting that fucking poor kid, man.
They better give him, like, front row seats to WrestleMania when he does get out.
He might be fucking in the ring, dude.
Vince McMahon better just fucking just go, you got for a seat.
Speaking of kind of along those lines, have you guys heard about Conor McGregor?
I mean, I know who he is, but what?
I guess he got into a bar fight.
Lost? Oh, wow, that's surprising.
Well, I guess the guy that tried to break it up is like a very high-ranking person in the Irish Mafia.
Mm-hmm.
And he punched him. He wasn't trying to, but he did. I guess now he's like, I don't know if he left the country, but he's supposedly like, they're fucking after him.
After McGregor or the other guy?
McGregor.
Why? Because he, so the Irish Mafia is after him?
Yeah.
That's kind of fucking crazy.
Yeah, isn't it?
Wow.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's fucked up, man.
So, as Rob Halford once said, you were breaking the law, breaking the law. Wow, wow!
Apparently. I'm surprised you guys didn't have more scrutiny for me about this whole thing.
I'm getting tired.
No, I don't really have to. Oh, what a baby.
Jim's tired. He was all amped to do this tonight, and now he's getting tired.
Well, it's 11 o'clock hit. That's my bedtime.
We've only been going for 2 hours and 35 minutes. It's going to be a supersized episode of Jim's BBQ Podcast.
It will be.
So, Dylan, are you feeling like playing any of our wacky games?
Our wacky games? Maybe one. I don't know. We could do one, probably.
Oh, so what you want to know are some fun facts, huh?
Yes.
And, Jim, as I've often said many a time, it's true.
It's damn true.
So, there's apparently, I'm in a series of facts here that have to do with glaciers and icebergs.
Okay.
Did you know that melting glaciers and icebergs make a distinctive fizzing noise that's commonly known as Bergie Seltzer.
Bergie?
B-E-R-G-Y Seltzer.
I did not know that.
It's probably someone's name or something like that, and they just think that like the fizzing sound sounds like when you open up a bottle of seltzer.
Yeah, because it's... What is it? Is it... It's because it's... because of the ice, like, mixing in with the salt water?
I guess.
Yeah, it would have to be, I would think.
Because it's what? Freshwater diluting into salt water, right?
I'm going to see if this...
Speaking of beverages...
I actually don't remember. I mean, obviously I'm showing my lack of science here, but, like, are icebergs, like, mostly made up of salt water or freshwater?
It's air.
Well, that makes sense. But yeah. An iceberg, or just for clarification, or ice mountain is a large piece of freshwater ice. Okay. So most icebergs, or I guess all of them, are freshwater.
Freshwater.
Because I guess salt water has a higher tolerance to the cold, and it takes longer for it to freeze. Otherwise, we wouldn't have Arctic oceans
or subarctic. It's little air pockets in the glaciers or icebergs.
Well, that makes sense.
But keeping in line with all this talk about glaciers, there is a glacier in Antarctica that's called Blood Falls.
Oh, is that the one that goes red?
It regularly pours out red liquid, making it look like the ice is bleeding.
Oh, that's fascinating.
It's actually oxidized salty water.
Oh.
Really?
So, if there was oxidized salty gym, what would that look like?
Oxidized salty gym?
I don't know. He seems pretty salty tonight, so I think we would just hear all this complaining about Star Wars and the lack of us seeing it in the timely manner that he's expecting us to see it in.
That's because he's a Sarge.
So, Jim, I was going to ask you this question, but I know you don't, so I'm going to ask Dylan it. Hey, Dylan, do you use hairspray?
Do I use? No.
Okay. Does Sarah use hairspray?
Yes.
Okay. So this might be something interesting that you might want to tell her about.
Okay.
2008, scientists discovered a new species of bacteria that lives in hairspray. Mm. Yeah.
Ugh, that's no good.
I know.
What are they called?
Oh my god, this is really scientific here.
Hairscopic?
Microbacterium hadenosis. Well, that was kind of interesting.
It is.
Yeah. All right, one more for you. The top of the Eiffel Tower leans away from the sun. As the metal facing the sun heats up and expands, it can move as much as 7 inches.
Damn.
Yeah. Isn't that ridiculous?
Just because it's so tall, it heats up.
Well, and I mean, the sun hitting the metal.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. But as far as this segment goes, that closes us out for It's True.
Oh, it's damn true.
All right, Jim. It's that time of the week. We're getting towards the end of the episode, but there's one segment that we always like to discuss here on Jim's BBQ Podcast. It's a segment that you always kick us into.
We do?
Yeah.
I thought Dylan said we weren't doing a game.
Oh, this ain't a game.
Or did you mean the... Sarge of the week.
I totally did mean. Sarge of the week. Kills me.
See who's going first.
I'll go first. I don't think I have a Sarge this week.
That's all right. I'll take your spot then, Dylan.
All right, Jim, you got a Sarge?
Oh, let's wait. Did you have one, Mike?
I'm trying to remember. Did I discuss my disdain for drive-through etiquette on the last episode?
No, were trying to tell us a story, and you were like,
oh, I cut out. Okay. So this happened a few weeks back, but. You know, I gotta think, if you're going through a drive-through, lane at like a fast food restaurant and you're ordering something complicated, don't fucking go through the drive-thru lane during lunch hour during the middle of the week. Go fucking inside, man. If it's not on the freaking menu that's up on the board, go inside. I don't want to deal with you ordering something where even the freaking person working at inside the building is confused by what the hell you're ordering. I sat at a drive-thru lane literally for 10 minutes while this guy went back and forth with the employee at a fast food restaurant a couple weeks back. And I'm just like, what in the fuck are you ordering? Just order a freaking taco and move on. Just fucking kills me.
You know, I actually kind of do have a similar situation to that. So maybe I do have a Sarge.
Okay.
And tell me if I don't remember if I've said this on the recent one, but like, so I was just stopping in. Sarah and I went to go see Thor, right? But we stopped in at her local bodega just to pick up some snacks and drinks because we didn't feel like, you know, buying the $50 popcorn at the theater.
Did you sneak them in?
Yeah, we snuck them in. Yeah. Real, real fucking risky, right?
Are you like working for like a movie theater now? You want us to go see movies? You're complaining about Dylan sneaking snacks into the fucking movie theater? Are you like secretly working for Regal Theaters or something, Jim?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I just can't picture Dylan like doing something like that.
I totally could. You know what's a great go-to now for doing shit like that is Five Below.
Oh, yeah?
They even have, like, all the candy boxed up and all that shit. That's nice, man. That's a place to go to if you're intending on bringing in, like, Sour Patch Kids or Goobers or any of that shit.
There must be a Five Below close to Mike's theater.
I don't have a fucking theater. You don't know why?
Because you don't go very often.
I don't go to the movies very often. It's so comical. Like, they always want me to sign up for the frequent movie.
Like the AMC card and all that.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't go off. I look at them, I go, I don't go too often. I don't need one. Or I may have signed up for one at some point. They're like, do you have it on you? I'm like, I don't know where the hell that thing is. They're like, oh, okay. And then they just get out. They hand me the tickets and we move on. I'm like, fuck, I mean, like, those rewards points that I earned probably, like, 7 years ago, I'm sure have probably fucking expired.
Expired?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, Dylan, you had a similar occurrence like I did over at the local Taco Bell.
No, mine was at the bodega, like the the convenience store right down.
So maybe we can commiserate a little bit.
Yeah, so... I don't know if you guys know, like, what you know when you, like, walk into, like, a deli? Because the bodega has a deli, too. And you know when you walk into a deli, you walk in and you know what you want, right? You want, like, you walk in, you say, you know, you look at the menu, you look at, like, what's out there, and you just say, all right, I know what I want. And the guy's like, what do you want? And you're like, I want ham Swiss with lettuce, tomato, onion, and vinegar and oil. And on a roll, cut in half. Thank you. And that's it. Simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys know deli etiquette. It's fast. It's in and out. You know the way it works, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we go in to buy. You know, we're just buying like a couple of sodas and like some chips and stuff. You know, some gummy bears. Nothing crazy. And there's this really
everywhere.
Yeah, and there's this really long line, and there's like these.
That's beyond compare.
And there's these
we
two
are
people.
The gummy bears.
Whatever. If you don't care, I'll just not fucking.
No, no, come on.
But you mentioned gummy bears.
So we're standing on the line, and it's getting like it's like long at this point already. And there's these two people in front of us, and they're just like. Oh, wait, hold on. I just want to make sure you got my order correct. And it's like, I wanted, like, this and this, okay, and this. And I want it, like, cut in half with the bread scooped out. And I need you to make sure that you smear the avocado on the inside of it and that this goes on first. And, oh, and then they get there, and they're like, oh, and did you toast the bread? Because if you didn't toast the bread, we can't take that because we asked for it. So the guy who's, like, ringing us up is just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, are you serious right now? Like, this thing is, like, wrapped up, it's ready to go, and you're going to drop this on us? And he just, he gave these customers so much fucking shade. It was so funny. And then he sees me and, like, he sees Sarah and he just has, like, he's like, hello, how are you? Like, would you like some napkins with your purchase? And we're like, no. He's, like, super nice. And he's like, well, thanks. Hope to see you soon. And then he just, like, turns to them and just immediately just, like, the change, like, the change in his face was just so drastic. Because it's like, you don't go into a fucking bodega or a deli of that kind of culture or whatever you want to call it. Like, that kind of, you don't walk into an establishment like that and have these ridiculous claims, because that's not the environment for it. And
very, very similar to what I had happen.
Like,
they should have went to Subway.
Exactly. Go to Subway. Go to a fucking, like, artisanal sandwich shop if that's what you're looking for. To spend, like, fucking, you know, $15 on a goddamn sandwich.
I bet somebody at Wegmans would have even told them to piss off.
Yeah, I mean, it was just ridiculous. And Sarah and I were like, that was crazy. And, you know, like, we're lucky that is that, you know, Sarah has, like, a good relationship with the guy who runs that bodega, and, like, that's cool and all. And he's just he's a very courteous, very polite man. I like him a lot. He's always there when I go in to buy my coffee for when I have to drive home on the weekends. But, like, come on. Like, have a little bit of etiquette, you know?
Yeah.
If you're going to live in that area, like, at least know how things roll. You know what I mean?
Yeah, very true.
Hey, I need to rewind it a little bit. So when you listen to this editing, Mike, was there a little bit of Dusty that came out at the beginning of this?
What do you mean?
I heard, like, when you were telling Dylan, you're like, oh, so Dylan, you had a story of so you will or something like that. I heard some Dusty.
Dude, I have been saying that all fucking week.
Oh, anytime I go, if you will.
Oh, I say it all the time. It's really funny. I'm just like, oh, you know, it's like, I think it's a good idea. If you will.
I'm just saying, I heard it come out.
I try to bring it in, man. And apparently it's influenced Dylan enough that he actually started to do it himself, you know?
Yes, sir.
I think if you say something often enough, it kind of bleeds into other people. Like, they start to do it too.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, definitely. I hear shit all the time that I think is funny, and I just, like, incorporate it into my like vernacular.
Yeah. But yeah, like to your point, Dylan. Like, it was the guy tried to order, like, a fucking gordita, and they're like, "Oh, what kind of meat would you like?" And he's like, "Well, I want all three." And the girl at the drive-thru was like, excuse me? He's like, I want all three. And she was just, she's like, well, I don't know if we can do that. She's like, I'm going to need to check with somebody.
What's the third meat?
It was like fucking chicken, beef, and I think maybe carnitas or some such shit. Or chicken, beef, and steak. I don't fucking know. And
like, the generic fucking, like, you know, Mexican.
I don't even know what the fuck it was, Jim, but oh my God. I was just like, and he's like, oh, but I also need this and this. Oh, but can you do this with this? And I'm like, oh my God, I just want to order a fucking burrito and get the hell out of here.
Can you slap your ass spin in a circle before you put the sour cream down?
Maybe.
What?
I was just like, I was like, I want a burrito. I want it with chicken and I want the soft taco in the combo. And I'll have a cherry Pepsi. And she's like, okay, done. I was in. I paid, had my food, and was through the drive-thru in a minute after I ordered. That's what the drive-thru is for. If you're making a complicated order, go the fuck inside. They can deal with your whatever the fuck you're ordering bullshit in there.
I know. It's ridiculous. It's just like, it's fast food. It's got to be like, that.
Granted, the bodega situation, they probably don't have an express line versus a regular line. It's just
no, but what again, it is, and they have to, like, deal with. Just be aware of, you know, where you are and, like, what you're doing, you know?
And don't order complicated. Just order and just get it done with. It's like the people that go to the fucking ATM and they do these transactions that, you know what, you should go to the bank for the regular hours and not fucking make 5 billion transactions. I literally was waiting behind someone the other day. They were literally there for 15 minutes. And I'm just like, oh my God, I finally had to back out from behind them and go to the other ATM. And they were still there when I finished up.
Dude, it's like when I go into New York and like I know I'm not like a native New Yorker, but it drives me crazy how long it takes people to like buy a fucking Metro card, or better yet, a fucking ticket to get on like NJ Transit to go to fucking New York. It's crazy. It's just like, this is not a hard process.
I mean, I get like, okay, like if you were like, it was the first time you ever like showed up at Secaucus Junction and you had to drive that
the first time.
You had to drive that whole jug handle and drive around that huge ass jug handle and finally park, you know, and you're still suffering from all the turnabout of the jug handle. And you finally get into the station and you go and you're kind of a little disoriented and you make your payment and or you swipe your card and you're trying to decide what the hell you need to select and you haven't ever been there before. It might confuse you for a little bit. But man, if you're regularly doing that shit, man, you should have that stuff down.
Wow, that was a pretty good monologue, Mike.
Did I say jug handle enough times?
You definitely threw it in there a lot. I definitely appreciate it.
You know what's so funny? I think I posted this in the chat earlier. I was watching WWE SmackDown earlier tonight, and they're one of the women wrestlers that they just debuted. She's from New Jersey. And the one announcer goes, yeah, you can't make any left-hand turns in New Jersey. It made me laugh. It made me think of you, Dylan.
I'm glad that literally every thought of New Jersey is just like this. Fuck it. It's always a negative connotation. Oh, man, I saw something about corruption. Made me think of you, Dylan. Oh, man, I watched an episode of The Sopranos. Made me think of you, Dylan. Oh,
why is that a negative? It made me think of like a fun time with you.
But it's not me. It's just everybody thinks of something shitty. Like, oh, it made me think of my friend from New Jersey. It's just this thing about Jersey.
Wait. Hold on a second. It didn't make me think of a negative as far as like.
Not you. I'm talking about the greater culture.
But you're saying it made me think of you, Dylan. It didn't make me think of you in a negative fashion. It made me think of a fun time that we had together in New Jersey.
What was the fun time, though?
The whole weekend.
Oh, that one? Well, that was a good time. There's no denying that.
But the whole talk about, you kept talking about the jug handles and all of that stuff. So it made me kind of laugh when I heard him reference that.
Dylan does like to talk about jug
handles.
Wow, that wasn't on the nose.
I could see how people might be confused by that. But yeah, there's no excuse. Like if you're regularly doing that and it takes you longer than a few minutes to like actually work the ticket machine at Secaucus Junction. Fuck, you know.
Look, you guys got it down pretty well. So, and I know you guys are not from that area.
But I mean, if you're of our age, you should know how to use any sort of ticketing system.
It's ridiculously not difficult.
It's like how people, like, when they travel and they're, like, in another country and even the language is different, like, on a subway system, but they can figure out how to buy a ticket to get them from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in, like, France or whatever, and you go up and you're in Paris and you're taking the – and all I've heard is how difficult the train system is in Paris, but you're able to at least, you know, get underground and take the trains and, you know, figure out how to buy a fucking ticket. Whether you get to where you want to be or not is another question, but at least you could probably figure that much out.
No, I agree.
Yeah. But, I mean, maybe some people just aren't that savvy with that stuff, you know, and it just kind of confuses them. I don't know. I mean, that's the whole thing, though, like, is you see these places.
Man,
like,
I feel like we've really drifted off Sarge of the Week.
That's okay, though. It's kind of like, I know one of the places that Jim likes to go to is Sheetz.
Mm-hmm. And, dude, I like Sheetz too, man.
And if there's one thing about Sheetz that everybody knows that has been to a Sheetz is what do they have? They have those self-serve kiosks, right?
They're the fucking best.
Yes.
They are.
But how much do you think that confounds some people to actually order food from a self-serve kiosk?
We're like, what?
Yeah, lots of people.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at. So, I mean, they end up having to help those fuckers out anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's not necessarily always their fault if the technology, like, fails them.
Or the technology just eludes the people that are trying to use it.
Yeah, like,
it's not that hard. It's got pictures of everything.
How do I select cheese? And it's like, you hit the cheese button, and it's like, what?
Yeah, but you gotta know, Jim, that just eludes people.
No, it's remarkable how, like, unintelligent people are.
Yeah. You know what another one is? Is, you know how, like, a lot of, like, fast food places or, you know, quick eateries have the Coke and Pepsi machines now where it's all push button?
Yeah.
It's all one machine and it, you know, you can add flavors to it and all that. People
Those freestyle there. Machines, right?
No, but it's all one screen. So if you want Sprite, you push the button for Sprite.
Yeah.
It's all electronic. It's not, like,
But aren't the Coke freestyle machines kind of like that way, where like you can like combine the flavors and all that shit?
So it's like, yeah. But it's all one machine. It all only has one spout.
Yeah.
Yeah. People will walk up to them. Like there's one at Wendy's and there's one at the Rise Pies and there's a couple more, but people will stand.
Five Guys, I think, is the one that I always see it at.
People stand at it, like looking at it. And it's like, and the one that blows my mind the most is, like, they'll stand there and try and figure out how to get ice. There's a big lever underneath it that says ice. You just push it in there. You get your ice like you do from any other machine. It's just, oh.
Are we just at that point, like, where, like, you know, we're at that age where that stuff doesn't confuse us as much, but it confuses, like, the people that are older than us?
Some it does, some it doesn't. I don't get it. I mean, I don't understand how you can't. They're all pitcher driven. It's like how fucking moronic do you have to be?
I don't know.
So who's our ultimate Sarge this week though?
Oh fuck, man! I don't even remember what. I mean, we talked about drive through etiquette and lines and. What did Jim
those,
have?
Those fuckers suck.
Jim, did you actually name a Surge?
Mm-mm.
Jim, do you have a Surge?
Not really.
No? Besides Dylan and I for not going to see Star Wars in a timely manner?
Well, I could name a third. I could add Nem into that because he's sitting there probably agreeing with you two. So.
Nem seems like a cool guy. That's all I got to say about that.
Wow.
Plus he does those... He does those little miniature figurines and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's fucking really good, man.
Yeah, man.
Kike's miniatures.
Notice I threw that in there because I got searched out the one time I didn't understand them.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. But yeah, Kike miniatures.
That was a year ago, if you can imagine that.
Really?
Yeah, man. That was over a year ago. I was in Dayton, Ohio when we had that whole... throw down about me being a Surge or not.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Mike, he had nothing to say. But he's like, oh, I'm wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong. Yeah, I mean, I guess, man, we really went off on a tangent here after we discussed.
This was fucking Tangent City tonight.
And ATM etiquette, and then Dylan showed us a video that we won't
talk about. ATM etiquette?
Yeah, I talked about ATM etiquette, about people going through the drive-thru and just
fucking... Oh, I thought you meant
them and like spending all their time doing 5 billion transactions. Going to the fucking bank if you're going to do all that bullshit, man. I just want to draw out some money and go.
Yeah.
Even that, I mean, in this day and age, I mean, when do you really need to take money out? There's a few times when you do, but fuck, man.
Not very often.
Not very often. Like, if I'm going to, like a concert, and, you know I want to pick up, like, a CD from the band that's playing or whatever. Because, yeah, bands still put out CDs and shit going. But, yeah.
Why do you got to single me out?
I know you're all digital and all that shit, you know.
No, I'm all digital, dude. Yeah, like, yeah. I took out some money this weekend because I went down to the Strip District in Pittsburgh, but...
You went to the where?
The Strip District.
Oh, I thought
he had to go collect. He needed to have change for when he fucking whipped his clothes off to give to the people.
Nice. No, the Strip District, it's like a marketplace.
Sure it is.
Why would Jim need change to give back to the people, man. It's 20s or nothing for Jim.
Damn right.
Those vertical pepperonis and everything, man, those should be $20.
Dangle little tassels off it, get an extra 20.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so if you wanna find out all about our episodes, Nem, you know what? We're putting them out as fast as we can. You're just going to have to deal with it. Stay up on the Facebook page and, you know, you can find out when we're releasing the episodes. Hopefully Dylan actually puts posts up about them. Otherwise, I just take over and do it myself. You can check that out at Facebook, facebook.com/JimsBBQPod.
And you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at JimsBBQPod.
You can email us at JimsBBQPod@gmail.com and ask for all of them's information because, ladies, he's single. Or you could go right to the website at www.jimsbbqpod.com, get the episodes fresh from the grill.
Wait a second. Hey, well, don't forget you can also rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Much to Jim and Canadian correspondent Paul's
Cigarin
Boulevard. Did Jim just take a bong hit?
Oh my god, he didn't fall asleep.
No, I didn't.
That did sound pretty legit, though.
Oh, dude, I'm about to. I'm going to close the lid and probably pass out. Thank you for visiting Jim's BBQ Pod, where you can spread our legs and make a wish on the bone.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yes.
Oh, hold on a second.
That's not right.
Oh my god!
Holy shit, someone just shit themselves.
That's what I think.
Oh my god!
That's what I think of you and Dylan's commitment to going to see the fucking Last Jedi.
Wow, fuck! You know what, Mike? I gotta say, I'm real happy we're not in that room right now.
Oh no, shit!
No.
Oh yes, shit!
Here's a little story I got to tell about two sergeants you know so well. It started way back in history with that Mike Crandall and Dylan G. It all started on December 15th when they both decided not to go see Star Wars on opening night and crushing all my hopes and dreams for them. That's all I got. Now, here's a little story I got to tell about three bad brothers you know so well. It started way back in history with that Rock MCA and me, Mike D. I had a little horse named Paul Revere. Just me and my horsey and a quart of beer. Riding across the land, kicking up sand, sheriff's posse's on my tail cause I'm in demand. One lonely beastie I be, all by myself with nobody. The sun is beating down on my baseball hat. The air is getting hot, the beer is getting flat. Looking for a girl. I ran into a guy. His name is MCA. I said, howdy. He said, hi.
Nice. I'm back, Jim.
Oh, you are?
You're not all by yourself without nobody.